Dear congregation, the theme for the sermon this morning is a question. And that question is, who is your king? Who is your king? Or you might even say, who is your Messiah? But let's stick to that first one. Who is your king? 3 points of attention. First of all, your own king. Maybe you choose your own king. Your own king. Second, God's king. God's king. Is God's king our king? And third, the choice. There is a choice. There is a choice. Who is our king? So, who's your king? That's the question, the theme for this morning. First of all, your own king. Second, God's king. And third, the choice we have to make, we must make. First, your own king. Well, we have heard again that tragic and terrible story that we read at the end of 1 Samuel 22. What a massacre. How poignant what happens there. We read in verse 18 of 1 Samuel 22. That Doeg falls upon the priest, not the servants of the Lord. He falls on them and he slaughters 85 of the servants of the Lord. 85. The next verse. It's not enough for Doeg. And we read how he smites the whole city of Nob, the city where these priests dwelled, because they are dead by now. And he smites the whole city with the edge of the sword, men and women, children, sucklings, oxen, asses, sheep. What is this? What a massacre. There's just one survivor. Just one. The whole city murdered, slaughtered in the midst of Israel. Just one survivor. Abiathar. And he will play a role later. We will hear his name later, but he survived. And Israel was, still is by the way, a small country. Back at that time, every tribe had his own territory. But it was small. A small country. And those 12 tribes, they regularly interacted with each other. For example, when they were called to battle, or when they went up to the tabernacle, or to hear the voice of a king or a prophet or a judge. It was a very small country. And one way or another, I think they all knew each other. And here, this small country is plunged into great turmoil. Because one of their villages in Israel is everybody is murdered there. And one of their villages took place that massacre, a priestly settlement, totally wiped. And you know what the most tragic and poignant thing is here? It is on the behest of the king of Israel. The king of Israel told Doeg to wipe out that village, to murder the servants of the Lord, the king of Israel. You understand the turmoil in that small country. Tragic. Let's take a closer look what's happening here. Saul. What about Saul? Do you remember how it began with King Saul? I'll just read a text. 1 Samuel 9 verse 70. And see the contrast. Here it tells Doeg, the Edomite, smite that city. But listen to these words. 1 Samuel 9 verse 17. And when Samuel saw Saul, so the prophet of the Lord sees Saul. The Lord, capital letters, Yahweh, the I am who I am, the God that made a covenant with Israel. The Lord said unto Samuel, behold the man whom I spake to thee of. He shall reign over my people. He was appointed by God. 1 Samuel 10, just a chapter later, we read, the Lord has anointed thee. Word spoken to Saul. So he was called by the Lord, appointed, anointed. The Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance. Those people are the Lord's people. Oh, and he received a great blessing from the Lord. Because wherever the Lord calls and he gives you a call in your life, we each have a call or more calls in our life. The Lord equips. Well, and he equips here. We read in 1 Samuel 10, verse 6 and 7, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and thou shalt prophesy with them. In other words, speaks words of wisdom. Spiritual wisdom, heavenly wisdom. And thou shalt be turned into another man. In other words, equipped to fulfill the task given to him by the Lord. Thou shalt be turned into another man. And then we hear, do as occasion serve thee. So the Lord tells King Saul, after he appointed, called him, appointed him, anointed him, equipped him, he told him, do whatever your hand will find to do. Do whatever your hand will find to do. I am with you. I am with you. And Saul started his kingship well. He defeated the Philistines that invaded Israel. He defeated them utterly. He began well. But listen again, back to these words. So at the beginning of his kingship, the Lord told him, do whatever your hand finds to do. Because the Lord called him, anointed him, equipped him, gave him his spirit. Do what your hand finds to do. I'm with you. And here, a couple of years later, Doeg, wipe out the priestly settlement. Kill all the priests and their houses, their families, everything. Against the clear commandment of God, thou shalt not kill. How did it end up with Saul here? How did it end up on this way? We know the story. But let's take that lesson again with us when we later on return to our houses. It all began with disobedience. Dear congregation, let us be obedient to God. Let there not be any disobedience. It began with disobedience. Not once, but repeatedly. And that led eventually, you see that path downward, it began with one disobedience and another one. And in the end, God rejected Saul as king. Rejected as king. The Lord took away his spirit from Saul. His good spirit. The Lord even gave an evil spirit to King Saul. King Saul became filled with enmity and hatred and hostility. And he even hated his own son-in-law and his own son Jonathan. And now he ends up, what an enmity, what an hostility, what an evil, in wiping out an all village of servants of the Lord and their houses. You know what the Lord tells us? They that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Do you know what happened at the end of Saul's life? You see? All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. It's precisely how Saul's life ended. Enough about Saul. What a warning for us. But let's move to the people. Why are the people of Israel going through all these difficult circumstances to this tribulation? Why? Why comes the Lord with such heavy tribulation on them? Why? Well, again, we need to go back to the beginning. What happened? How did Saul become king? Let's begin there. How did Saul become king? 1 Samuel 8, verse 5. Behold, Samuel, 1 Samuel 8, verse 5. Thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Tragic. Tragic, eh? For a father, your sons do not walk in your way. Tragic. But let's continue to read. Now make us a king to judge like all the nations. There you have the people of Israel. Make us a king like all the nations around us have a king. A strong man that will lead us. An example for us. Make us a king. Samuel, he's a servant of the Lord. He knows the Lord and he sees the evil. He calls on the Lord. And then the Lord says, Samuel, again, you know, all these warnings this morning, all these warnings, hearken unto the voice of the people. In other words, Samuel, make a king. Make a king. Hearken to the voice of the people. Just reflect a little bit on what is happening in the United States and in the Western world in general. I think I don't have to say anything more. Right? Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, Samuel, but they have rejected me. And we look around us, right? They have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And then the Lord continues, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, they, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Samuel then warns the people of Israel. He's a servant of the Lord. He warns them seriously, as every pastor and preacher must do. A serious warning. To the church, to the nation, to us personally. And Saul tells the people there, the king shall take of you. You read it in 1 Samuel, let's see, 8. 1 Samuel 8. I'll look it up for you. I think it's around verse 10, a little bit later. Oh yeah, verse 11. This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons. Right? And then a little bit later in verse 13. He will take your daughters. Verse 14. He will take your fields. Verse 15. He will take the tens of your seed. Verse 16. He will take your men servants, your maid servants, your goodliest young men, your asses. Verse 17. He will take the tens of your sheep. Ye shall be his servants. And then look what happened. Verse 18. Because you choose your own king. You will get your own king. But then verse 18. Ye shall cry out that day. All this tribulation happened because the people of Israel made a choice for their own king, and they rejected their God who led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea, 40 years through the desert, brought them in this land of milk and honey, and they rejected him. They rejected him. Give me a king as the kings of the world. Give us such a king. And there you see the cry when Nob is exterminated and wiped out. What a cry. What a cry. The Lord had warned them. And look to the kind of people that fled to David in the cave of Adullam. What kind of people were they? Distressed, sorrowful, in debt. In other words, many at that time under King Saul's kingship. They cried out. They were distressed. They were sorrowful. They were in debt. And now here again later in 1 Samuel 23, the Philistines rob Keilah. And again that cry. You see, the problem is that the people of Israel, they wanted their own king and they rejected God. And do you hear anything there of repentance? All these tribulations, all those afflictions, Nob, right, wiped out. And then Keilah, the Philistines, they rob Keilah. And then all those men that flee to David, distressed, in debt, afflicted. Do you hear of any cry of repentance, confession of guilt? Crying out to the Lord, Lord, have mercy. We rejected thee as our king. Have mercy upon us. You don't hear that cry. The people of Israel wanted to be as the nations around them. You know what the result is? When you desire for something, you end up being what you desire for. They ended up being worldly as the nations around them. That's how they ended up. You know what the result is? Because they were not different than the nations around them, and they delivered themselves out to the nations around them, to the lusts and the desires of the heart, they ended as a prey of the nations around them. The Philistines robbed them, and there is no redeemer. No, of course not, because there's no cry, no repentance. What's the lesson here before we move on to the second thought? When we desire for the world, that the world is our king, our example, that the world will lead us on her path, we end up in the hands of the world. And in the end, the world will kill us. The world will rob us from everything. And we will perish with the world. And then see all the work that God has done to us. I think everybody here is baptized. What a privilege it is to be baptized, set apart. God's promise of salvation sealed to your forehead. Sealed. Constantly your baptism cries out, you can trust me, I'm a faithful God. I gave my son for you. Give me your life. Obey me. I am your king, your Messiah. What is needed is repentance and faith. That's what's lacking in Israel, and that's what we need. It's lacking with King Saul. It's lacking with the people of Israel. Only a remnant there around David. But that's it. Only a remnant. All what we need is to cry out, have mercy upon us. And to acknowledge God as our king. But let's move on. God's king, the second point. So Israel faces turmoil. Turmoil from without and turmoil from within. The turmoil from without, from outside, comes, by the way, from the Philistines. All right, and we know by now that they live mainly southwest, on the southwestern coast of Israel, southwest of Judea, on the coast with the Mediterranean, the plains there. And here we read in Scripture that the Philistines, those enemies without, they march with their mighty armies up to Keilah. And they rob Keilah. Keilah, by the way, is a place on the border between Judea and Philistine territory. It's exactly on the border. Kind of no man's land. Kind of no man's land. It's exactly on the border. And therefore, it's quickly accessible to the enemies, to the armies of the enemies. By the way, Keilah is only a couple of miles south from the cave of Adullam. A couple of miles. It's also only a couple of miles away from the valley of Elah, or Oaks, you remember that, where David killed Goliath. It's all there. Keilah, cave of Adullam, and the valley of Oaks, or Elah. But here the Philistines come again, from the west, and they march through the Shvalah, and they rob the threshing floors of Keilah. It is harvest time. And the threshing floors that lie outside the walls of the city, in the fields, right, in between the fields, those threshing floors are also used as a kind of barns to store the grain. And the Philistines, they march in and they rob everything. And Israel, the inhabitants of Keilah, powerless. Powerless. You see? You know what a point is here? That without the Lord, we are powerless. You can try whatever you want to fight your three mortal enemies. You can try whatever you want to live a sanctified life. You will not succeed. We are powerless in ourselves and of ourselves. Oh, we need the Lord. And they rejected the Lord as their king. They rejected him. And now they have an evil king. So they are powerless. So often with us the case that our three mortal enemies, you know, they have an open access to our heart and mind. Because our heart and mind alive are not controlled by the Lord and His Word. Our heart is not filled with the Holy Spirit. Because our desire is for the world. What a problem. And then we are powerless. Then we fail. Of course you will fail. And you will fall into sin. And your face will be weak or even gone. And your heart will be cold for the Lord. Of course. But we need that direction of our heart focused, right? Our heart focused on the Lord. That's what we need. So there is no king here. Yeah, there is King Saul, but he's evil. He doesn't understand his task. There is no king for the inhabitants of Keilah to redeem them, to liberate them, to help them. No king. No king. Or is there a king? Yes, there is. The people made a choice for Saul, a man of the world, a king after their own heart. But the Lord has other plans. And all the way, he prepared another king, another Messiah. They didn't ask for it, but still the Lord prepared the way for a new king, a man after his own heart, another Messiah, another anointed one. There is a savior for Keilah. All those people are powerless, yes, but the Lord prepared a savior for them. That's how it works spiritually. You see, salvation is of the Lord, one-sided. And we make the wrong choices and we fail and we sin. And the Lord prepared a Messiah. Here's David. What a picture of Christ, right? David. And the Lord prepared him all the way. And here he is. What's the first thing he does? He hears that the Philistines robbed Keilah. What would you do? What would you do? Well, the first thing David does is to fold his hand, to bend his knees, and to cry out to the Lord. That's the first thing. And he asked the Lord, "Shall I go to the Philistines? Shall I go, Lord?" Because he knows his calling. He knows that the Lord called him to be a valiant man and to be the king of Israel. "So will I smite these Philistines?" And the Lord answers clearly, "Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah." Moments later, David asks again, "Will I? Why?" Why does he go to the Lord twice? Well, because those remnant around him, right, those men that were distressed and afflicted and that fled to him, to that cave of Adullam, and that followed David, those men, they were afraid. Of course they are afraid. They have an enemy within Israel, King Saul. But when they will follow David and march toward Keilah and war against the Philistines, they will have another enemy. They will have two enemies. An enemy within King Saul and an enemy without. So they are afraid. Understandable, right? Not needed at all. They don't have to be afraid. But they are. It's what we are, right? We are often weak, right? We are afraid of our enemies, of the things that could happen in our life, and the things that happen in our life. And we are afraid and we cry out, "No, no." But David, again, he asks the Lord again. He wants to encourage his man and to be sure. "Shall I go up for the second time?" Verse 4. And the Lord's answer is clear. "Arise, go down to Keilah. I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand." And off he goes with his men. 600 men. And of course, he delivers Keilah. And the Philistines are smitten. What a difference, between Saul and David. Saul, he disobeyed the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord left him, filled with an evil spirit. His heart is filled with enmity and hatred and hostility. And he forgets his duty, his calling. Totally forgotten. He's only selfish. Forgotten that he is king of Israel. Forgotten. Because he forgot his God who called him to be king. And with him there is no salvation. Of course not. But here is David, God's anointed one. And he seeks God's will. By the way, thrice here, for three times in this couple of verses in 1 Samuel 23, three times he seeks the Lord. Why three times? Why does he seek the Lord and why does he pray over and over again? I hope you pray that often, that we pray that often. You know why? Because he just failed utterly. And he ran up against himself. He failed. He lied to Ahimelech. He fled to Gath. He failed utterly. And he knows, without the Lord, I am nowhere. I need the Lord. He is hungry and thirsty to know the will of the Lord. He has learned the rich lesson. You see how we learn our spiritual lessons in life? Through tribulation. Through afflictions, we learn to trust the Lord and cry out, "Help me!" And he certainly will help. Maybe in a different way that we expect, but he will help, always. Look to David. He cried out and he utterly defeated the Philistines. But how do we seek the will of the Lord? Let's first ask, how did David seek the will of the Lord here in this chapter? Well, the first thing he does, he prays three times. So when we seek the Lord, we pray. We pray. And we don't stop praying. Lord, teach me the way I should go, like David did. But the question, of course, how does God speak to us? Right? To pray is one thing. And I think you agree with me, it's already so difficult to pray. And to persevere in prayer. And to focus on God in prayer. And to lift him up. And to trust him. And to forget everything around you. That's already an almost impossible task, right? But then the second question, how do we discern and hear the voice and the will of the Lord? Well, how did it happen in the Old Testament? Let's begin there shortly. Well, through dreams and visions, revelations, prophets. And for David, here in 1 Samuel 23, through the ephod. By the way, why was it in the Old Testament through dreams and visions and prophets and through the ephod? Well, we have the full word of God. But back then, they didn't have the written word of God. So they were dependent on God's revelation through different instruments. Dreams, visions, etc. And also one of those ways to discern the voice and the will of the Lord was the ephod. Well, the ephod itself is a priestly garment. Meant here is the high priestly garment. A multicolored linen bodice. Multicolored, beautiful linen bodice. But what's more important, on top of that bodice, that garment, is a breastplate with 12 precious stones representing the 12 tribes. So the high priest, on top of that garment, that ephod, has there that breastplate. But now about the will of the Lord. In between that bodice, that garment, the ephod, and that breastplate, representing the 12 tribes, are two stones. Two stones. Called the Urim and the Thummim. And we don't know exactly how, but it doesn't matter how. But the high priest used those two stones, right in between the ephod and there, the breastplate, the 12 tribes there. And he used those two stones to discern the will of the Lord. Well, that's how it happened in the Old Testament. But let's move to us nowadays. Because we don't have an ephod, right? We don't have an Urim and a Thummim. We don't have, those direct revelations in dreams and visions. How do we discern the will of the Lord? Well, that's why we read 2 Timothy. I just quoted. How do we discern the will of the Lord? Okay. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. In other words, with the help of the Holy Scriptures, you will make the right decisions. Here you have the instrument to discern God's will. We continue to read. They make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. In other words, always make the right choice. Follow the will of God and act according to the will of God. Do you get an answer on all your questions when you open God's word? I don't. So how does it work? How do we discern God's will? Well, first of all, I have to limit myself here a little bit. It's not a full lecture on the will of God, right? It's just something because of this chapter, 1 Samuel 23, and David seeking the will of the Lord. Well, let's limit myself to the following things. What is the will of God? What's the will of God? That you believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. That's the will of God. You know, we often bother, should I go to the right or to the left? What school? What study? What job? What? And we forget the most important thing. Seek Jesus Christ. Believe in Him. That's first and foremost the will of God. That all will be saved. That's His will. Let's first seek Christ. Secondly, what's God's will? We have clear commands in the Bible. Right? We often skip that first will of the Lord, that we seek Christ. We skip it. We even skip, the second kind of clear will of the Lord, namely His precepts, His laws, His commandments. And we just skip them. And we immediately go to our own situation in life. Help me now with. And what about our life? What about Christ? Who is He for us? Is He our King? Do we live according to God's clear precepts and commandments? You see, so often something is wrong here. And we cry out, help me with this, this, and that. And we forget. That it's first of all about Jesus Christ. And second, about living according to God's clear commandments. Having said all these things, how do I discern the will of the Lord? With, all these matters like my education and my job and whatever. How do I discern the will of the Lord? Well, it's not so difficult. Let us abide in God's word, and God's word abide in us. Let us be filled with the Holy Spirit, because we first sought Jesus Christ, and we believe in Him. That's the first thing. Then we are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, so we open God's word. This is our food daily. We abide in that word and in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gives the promise, when you abide in me and in your word, I will abide in you. And when He abides in us, there is His Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom in us. And when the Spirit of wisdom is in us, we will have no problems in discerning His will. Because the Lord will open doors and close doors. You see, we often turn it around. And we wrestle with many questions. No. Seek Jesus Christ. Abide in Him. Abide in His Word. And by doing that, right, being filled with the Holy Spirit, one-sided grace, that spirit of wisdom, things are clear. You know, unfortunately, the Lord's will is often only sought when we find ourselves in great need in daily life. But that much damage has already been done. Seek Jesus Christ. Abide in His Word. There is a little bit more here. There is a little bit more. Let us dig a bit deeper. David, the man after God's heart, who is here an example for us, failed. He himself, David, failed. And we often fail. Although we cry out and we confess, Christ, Thou art all for me. And we open God's word and we are hungry and thirsty to abide in that word, and still we fail. Well, David is just a type of Christ. Christ is the Messiah. Christ is the King. It is all about abiding in Him. Christ sought God's will always, perfectly, in all things in life. That's why He stayed nights over in prayer. Even Christ, God's only begotten Son, as Jesus of Nazareth, sought God in Father in prayer to discern God's will. And He lived perfectly according to God's will. All we need Him. You see, it all comes down to this. Living a godly life, making the right decisions, it's all about being in Christ. Abiding in Him. That's the issue. And when we abide in Him, His Spirit dwells in us. That's the issue. Well, let's first sing a psalter now. Before we move on, and that's a short thought to the third thought, the choice, we'll sing Psalter 124 about Christ. Because all we need is in Him, and He is so beautiful. Psalter 124, stanzas 1, 2, and 6. Three stanzas, 1, 2, and 6, Psalter 1, 2, 4. the choice, or last thought, the choice, a final thought, the choice. Well, let's listen to the conclusion of that beautiful story in 1 Samuel 23, the first 15 verses. Ka'ila is redeemed, of course, of course. The Lord is faithful to his people. So faithful. There are many lessons here. Think about them today. What are lessons we can draw from our life that the Lord is faithful unto Israel. The Lord is faithful unto his church. Although the church makes time and time again, the local congregations, denominations, the wrong choices. And the Lord is faithful. And he gave a Messiah, David the king. But let's continue. Saul hears about the delivery of Ka'ila and about David and how he redeemed Ka'ila. He heard those stories. Of course, Israel is small. Small territory, and everybody knew each other. And he immediately draw his conclusion. And hear his words. Hear his words. Mark. Again, right? Remember. Saul. The Lord withdraw his good spirit from Saul. Right? Saul was filled with an evil spirit. Saul, that's the conclusion. Only evil, hatred, enmity. And then hear his words. Right? He didn't obey to the Lord, not at all. And then hear his words, verse 7. God! Here's a godless man. And he dares to take God's name on his lips. And he uses him for his own selfish purposes. Look around you in the world. It's happening all the time. God has delivered him into my hand. He is shut in by entering into a town that has gates and bars. Oh, remarkable. You see it all the way. I hope it's not in our life. But you see it all the time again. Precisely where somebody lives a godless life. You don't see any sign that somebody follows the Lord. He uses God's name in vain. One is so quick to speak of God and his will. But so often, God is used for our own selfish purposes. And his will, God's will, is bent to my will. God is used for our own purposes. It happened. I hope it doesn't happen in our own life. But it happens so often. And it's a deep sin. It's a deep sin. Let's be careful here. We're using God's name in vain. When we lift him up, let's do it in Christ's name. That's the only way. By using God's name. It is by praying, by speaking to him, by lifting up in Christ's name. That's the only way. By living a life in Christ, with Christ, abiding in his word. Otherwise, let's not use God's name. That's the lesson here. Saul, he uses God's name. Let's not forget, God is holy. His will be done. His will. He's holy. Well, Saul decides to march on Ka'ila, and he thinks, well, this is an easy case. That's nice. David is locked up there behind the walls and the gates and the bars of Ka'ila. Ka'ila is on the top of a hill. That's nice. Now I can kill David and his men. God, thank you. That's all. Isn't it terrible? David hears it. Of course, it's a small country. Everything is within, you know, north, south. It's within 150 miles, 100 miles, that's it. Just a small country. It's from here to not even Chicago, maybe to Ann Arbor, you know, not even. Lansing, maybe. That's it. Small country. So David, of course, hears it immediately. And again, he calls on the Lord. First thing. First thing is not, man, come, let's flee. Let's go out of here. No. He prays to the Lord. He acts prudently. He acts wisely. He had learned that lesson the hard way. He had left his God. Made decisions in his own strength and wisdom, and he failed utterly. He learned that lesson the hard way, and therefore, this first part of 1 Samuel 23 is filled with prayer. God, reveal your will to me. And then the Lord speaks clearly to him. David, flee. Saul will come. And even worse, you know this, just think about it. Here is the God-anointed king. Well, he's not yet king, but he is anointed as king. Messiah, anointed the Messiah. He liberated Keilah. And then the Lord tells him, because he knows our hearts, the citizens of Keilah, they will betray you. They will deliver you into the hands of Saul. That's tragic. Here they make a choice. Not David, but Saul. They continue in their way. Remember what happened earlier in the book of Samuel. They continue in their way, choosing their own king. And by doing this, they reject God. But David, he's the type of Christ. Christ came one-sided to deliver and redeem sinners, to free them out of that house of bondage, to set them free, to clothe them in his righteousness, to give them life. He came. And he defeated our enemies. Those enemies that continually rob us. But he defeated them. And he came to set us free. To bring us life. We have that sign of redemption here. Let me reminds you again of baptism. That sign of redemption is here. I am here, your Savior. Make me your King. It's indelibly here on our foreheads. Engrafted. You can't erase it. Never. God's promise is so sure. God is so faithful. And that God, he keeps coming back to us. And we failed last week, and we sinned. And we were cold-hearted, maybe worldly-minded. And again we are here, hearing God's word. Come to me, all ye ends of the world. I set you free. With me is life. With me is all you need. Oh, God is so good. You know, the question is, we will go from here in a couple of minutes. But when you continue your life, where do you go? What choice do you make next week? Are you like the citizens of Keilah and you heard about the deliverance and the goodness of God and his faithfulness and of Christ? But you continue your life, choosing your own king, living according to the world. Or do we do as Joshua? Oh, right, so beautiful. At the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua 24. So beautiful. We read there, let's see which first, just a moment. Oh, here. Therefore fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. Put away all those kings, all those messiahs. Put them away. Serve the Lord. He's your king. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. Choose today. And we need to choose again. And I know it's only grace when we make the good choice, but still there is this command. Choose. This day, whom you will serve, whether all those kings there outside, all those messiahs, or the one true king and the one true messiah, Yahweh, who do you serve? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May we go from here with those words on our lips. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. It came so close to our heart, our life. Lord, we confess that so oftentimes we forget thee. We even walk away from thee. And we choose our own messiahs in our life. We seek our deliverance and freedom and joy in so many things. We are disobedient. All but that overflowing goodness. That in spite, despite of all those things, thou gavest thy son. Thou comest with thy word. Thou poured out thy spirit. O Lord, we come before thee in repentance. Have mercy upon us. Oh, that we may grow in faith, stronger day by day. That we come to that full measure of faith and assurance of faith. O Lord, that we may grow in sanctification. That we may discern thy will. Oh, that we may have that hunger and thirst to abide in Christ thy Son, because then we have thy promise. I will be, abide in you. I will be with you. Lord, go with us. Help us tonight. Again, a special service of installation. Lord, help us tonight. Help us every moment of our life. O Lord, we need thee. We lift thee up in this prayer. And we thank thee for all thy goodness. Hear our prayer. Receive our thanks. Amen. We'll sing Psalter 397. 397. 397. At Psalm 145. We'll sing stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Three stanzas, 1, 4, 5. Psalter 397. Sursum corda, lift up your heart to God and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.